The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Do you remember the time we used to talk an awful lot about the future of driverless cars, and then all the conversation changed? In fact, Tesla originally was all talk about driverless Teslas, and then it became about electric cars being better for the environment. But yesterday, when Elaine Burke was here for our weekly TV and streaming, she just mentioned to me off air that she had been in San Francisco recently and that she was in a driverless car. So I said, come back to us and tell us all about the experience. What's it like being in a car where you don't have a human being at a steering wheel driving it?
It felt like being on a theme park ride, essentially, you know, because like in theme parks, you get into vehicles that move around, usually on a track. And, you know, there's no visible person operating that machine. So that's kind of what the sensation felt like.
And it's a bit like a monorail. If you're in American airports and you're moving between terminals, you get on a... But
they're on tracks.
They're a track. Yeah. You're on a track and you're not going to intersect with any other traffic.
No, and that's the big variable here. And a lot of people have asked me, did I feel safe? And inside the car, I did feel safe. Now, I was scared at the concept when I first saw that. Basically what happened in San Francisco recently is that Waymo, which is a driverless car operator there, opened up its services to anyone. So it's no longer waitlisted. So anyone who downloads the app and is in San Francisco can access one of these robo-taxis. So the opportunity was there while I was in San Francisco. Before I went, I thought, never in a million years will I go near it. But I talk so much about this technology, I felt actually, no, it is my duty to do this while I have the opportunity to do so. I've done a lot of research into this area over the last number of years. And the real horrible thought is actually that you're probably in more danger outside of the car. Because most of the accidents that I'm aware of that have been reported with these driverless taxis are involving people who are cyclists on the road, pedestrians on the road, or other drivers reporting erratic activity that also kind of spooked them while they were driving on the roads. And, you know, generally speaking, the way cars are built these days, and their Jaguar I-Pace models is all the Waymo fleet are all that type of car. You know, cars are built to protect the occupant in all sorts of horrible scenarios.
But which ironically, it can do more damage to anyone they have an impact with.
If you're on the outside of the car when an impact occurs, or even if, you know, a small little bump or anything occurs, like you could be the person who's absolutely in danger. And there are reports that this has happened. I mean, actually, quite recently, there was a pedestrian found under one of these robo-taxis. And there are multiple reports of bicyclists being injured by them as well. So they're not, you know, they're not without risk. And
but that said, you could get into a taxi in San Francisco and you have no idea of the quality of the human driver who might be behind it. They could be weaving all over the place. They could take chances. They could potentially, given the amount of people we see die around the world in motoring accidents every year, be more dangerous to you than the computer that's guiding this car.
So that's probably one of the big sticking points when it comes to this, which is more safe, because absolutely people are not necessarily safe behind the wheel and they have a lot of variables to how they drive and how they behave. And even on a certain day, a good driver might not be as good as they normally are. We don't have consistent performance across humans either. And I have definitely been in cars driven by people that I was more scared in than even in the trip to San Francisco, I was on a tour bus that had way more scary moments than I had in the robo-taxis. But I suppose the research actually isn't totally conclusive. There's the problem, because we don't have enough data on the driverless cars to conclusively say that at this point in their development, they are safer. The most recent data I know about is from a 2021 report that said that driverless cars have an accident rate of about 9.1 is the rate per million miles driven, whereas human drivers are noted to have 4.1 accident rate per million miles driven. But that's in 2021. The technology has advanced since. There's now more data gathered. But another question about the data is also that this is really interesting. The fact that these cars are existing and they're on the roads in San Francisco and anyone can access them that has the app. And there's a similar situation now in Los Angeles and Phoenix and Austin and soon to be Atlanta as well for Waymo fleet alone. They're not obliged to report their accident data to NHTSA, which is the traffic safety controller, the national traffic safety controller, or to the Californian authorities in San Francisco, which I think is bizarre. I think they should not be allowed to to beta test something like this without having robust reporting procedures.
Okay, so you hail this taxi using an app and it comes to where you are, does it?
Yeah, so kind of like, you know, we use technology and apps to share location data with the driver and hail a taxi on the street through many different services these days. But it arrives with no driver in place and it will come right to where...
How weird is that, that you see a driverless car coming off to collect you?
Yeah, and actually the first time I saw one on the streets, there was actually a man driving it. So obviously they still function with the person behind the wheel and this one must have broken down. And I thought it was a Google mapping vehicle because it has the same kind of structure on top of it, of this kind of 360 degree camera and all the kind of, you can see cameras where the front headlights are and things like that. But they, you know, normally function without any driver in that seat and you just see the wheel turning by itself and it comes.
So there is a steering wheel.
There is a steering wheel. The steering wheel moves. One friend asked me when they saw my video, is the steering wheel just, you know, to placate people and show them, yeah, it's a real car and it's actually just moving like a cartoon wheel would, but it is moving for real. It's a real car and it operates like a real car.
So did you sit behind the steering wheel or did you take a back seat?
I took the back seat on my first ride and then I sat alongside the driver's seat on my second ride so that I could get an even more good visual.
Okay, so then what sort of speeds did you get up to and how did it deal with things like traffic lights or interacting with other cars?
Yeah, so this was definitely congested city-based driving. Like my first ride was around 9:30 in the morning in the midweek, so it wasn't too busy, but there was certainly enough activity on the street. And I don't think I ever even got over 40 miles an hour. Like there was no speed that could be built up in the sense of like there was a lot of traffic lights, even if there wasn't traffic, because it is like a congested city. And there was a moment in that first trip where a truck did pull out quite suddenly at a crossing, but the car stopped and it didn't even stop in a very jerky way.
That's just what to ask. I mean, did you get thrown forward in any way?
No, not anything like that. But I did feel like obviously it sensed that truck and that kind of gave me a reassurance that it was observing. And you can actually see there's a display screen in front of you. If you're in the back or in the front of the car, you can see this. And it actually displays what the visual sensors are picking up. And you can actually see the detail that it's picking up in terms of it actually is capturing the size of the cars. It could distinguish a bus from a car. It could distinguish a motorbike from a cyclist. It could even distinguish like the pedestrians on the street. You could see them moving around like little dots. So you could actually get a sense of what the car was seeing. And that was also reassuring. So if I saw that looked off, I probably would have asked it to pull over. And you can use the app to ask it to pull over whenever you want. Now, obviously, it will only pull over when it's safe to do so. It won't just dramatically do it, but you can request to be pulled over before your stop.
As the drives went on, did you relax?
Yeah, I was actually just kind of, like I said, I did feel like on a Disney ride or something like that. I was just taking videos and texting people that I know, telling them I was in a driverless car, and I did feel quite relaxed. And they're very comfortable cars as well. Like, this isn't an ad for Jaguar I-Pace, but wow, what a car. It was really nice. And I'm pretty sure the seats were heated, which was a very nice experience as well.
Can you see them working in Ireland?
Can they work anywhere? I suppose like San Francisco wouldn't be too much different from Dublin in terms of it's highly congested and there was a lot of activity on the roads, but it does have a grid network for its streets, which is quite common in American cities, and we don't have anything like that. We have quite a complicated road structure, so even the mapping of Dublin I think would be quite difficult. And then you've got, like, if you go outside of the cities, we have friend messaged me, I'd love to see it going down to Boreen in the west of Ireland. Like, we have some very complicated road networks here in Ireland.
As I mentioned at the outset, all the talk in recent years has shifted from autonomous driving to electric cars and even the likes of Tesla. But Elon Musk still has ambitions, I think, doesn't he, in relation to autonomous driving? Are the other companies, if you say like Jaguar doing this, are we still moving towards that, albeit perhaps at a slower pace than we might have hoped for 5 years ago?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the pace is actually an interesting question because, like I said, I've been covering autonomous vehicles for a really long time, and only now are they at a point where I can actually experience one. So that goes to show you how long it takes to even get to that stage. And this is still very much what I would call like a beta testing phase that it's at. Tesla is expected to announce something in the coming weeks. So expect to hear news from them in terms of a robotaxi. But I would caveat that and say Tesla is famous for announcing things that they don't actually have. ready, and they give timelines that they never actually meet. So I would just take any announcement coming from Tesla with a pinch of salt because of that track record. Cruise is a General Motors owned company that is also operating in this area, but currently has its operations, I think they're still suspended in California because of accidents that have taken place with the cars. And then Waymo is owned by Alphabet. So big tech companies that have a lot of money, like Tesla and Alphabet would be some of the richest companies in the world, can afford to invest in this. But then you have, it's a very, very expensive thing to research and develop. Only the most wealthy players can actually get involved in it. And like, how long will they make this as a loss maker for themselves? Because like I said, it's been a long time in R&D. And even if you look at an example like Uber used to have an R&D division looking at autonomous taxis, but actually ended up selling it because it was so loss making. And Uber as a company is a disruptor in the transport field. And only last year did it finally report a profit after 15 years in business. So how long are investors going to wait for these things to actually be profitable? Will they keep investing to them up until that point? I think that's actually one of the biggest question marks and one of the big hurdles that they need to get over.
Elaine Burke, host of the For TechSeg podcast. Thank you so much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.